moving away from the problem fear and moving towards the solution confidence. Hey everybody, and welcome to yet another episode of Speak with Clarity, Confidence and Charisma. I'm your host Connie, and in today's recording we're going to be speaking about how you can speak with more confidence. So make sure you grab a paper and a pen and stay tuned if you want to discover more about how you can move over the bridge from fear into a space of confidence. I will see you in a bit. Welcome once again, guys. And today we are joined by the incredible Ian Kane, who is a professional life and business coach. Welcome to the podcast, Ian.
Thank you very much, Connie Lee. Happy to be here.
Well, I'm really happy to be here. I was having a chat with you before the we jumped on live, and I was like thinking to myself, oh my gosh, I resonate with absolutely everything that you're saying. So I'm excited to learn and to grow with you. And we were talking about how, you know, even if the two of us, and I think this is really important for our audience to connect with, you know, especially those who are doing speaking, you know, in terms of their profession and they're wanting to grow their audience, is that it's about going back to that seed you were talking about. Even if I, you know, the person who is hosting the podcast is learning from the interviewee, which is you, then that in itself is already something amazing. So it's about going back to, absolutely, to those calls, right?
Yeah.
So not what we're talking about, but I think it's important for us to talk about that because I loved it.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't mention this to you. I'm actually in the, hopefully, nearing the end of writing a first book. And I benefit from consolidating my own knowledge by writing it, and B, if one person reads it, and I really mean this sincerely, of course we all want an amazing commercial success for whatever benefit, but if literally one person gives, you know, taps me on the shoulder and says, I just want you to know I read your book and it was really useful for me, that's been worth the effort. And it's a heck of an effort for me. It's not easy. It's taking time. And likewise, yeah, as I say, if one person hears your podcast or today our podcast, I think that's amazing. If it benefits somebody, if there's half a sentence for an experienced person, they go, you know what? Yes, that means something to me. Well, fantastic.
You know, I think we can pretty much end the podcast here, because this is this is really so important for me to remind myself of, about again, because, you know, I remember writing my book and all the process that went with it. And something I remind my clients about all the time is that it's not what it is that you're doing that's important, but what you're doing, the reflection of your growth within the expression of what you're doing, whether it be a book or a podcast. And it's not about the podcast today. It's about what I'm learning about myself from this experience, and what you're learning about yourself from that experience.
Yeah, amazing.
Consolidation of information. So thanks for joining us, Ian. We'll see you next week. Okay, so part one of the podcast over. Let's jump to part two. Welcome back.
Oh, hilarious.
Oh my gosh, this is hilarious. Let's collaborate on some. Anyway, we'll talk about it afterwards. So,
oh dear.
We're talking, you know, one of the things I really loved about what you said was that, you know, often what we do is we talk about moving, we focus on the problem, which is in this case, the fear of public speaking.
Yes.
And when we're focusing on that, we're moving towards the problem rather than moving away. You said moving away from the problem and towards the solution, which is confidence.
Absolutely.
And I know that there's a story there. Okay. So can you tell us why this is important? This topic of speaking with more confidence is important.
Well, I think that's a great question, actually. Both elements of what you've just said. Firstly, the element that you're talking about is like a part of motivation theory, and we can apply it to many things. And that's why it's important. Even if somebody's listening to this, and they're not necessarily looking to be a more confident speaker, as what we started to chat about, you can apply it to anything, to relationships, to fitness. But let's stick with the example of being a more confident speaker. if somebody does have fear about speaking, and there's an amazing book that came out years ago, and I've got, I'm now looking over to my left trying to see if I can actually see it on the pile of books in my office, and that is, and it was called And Death Came Third, believe it, And Death Came Third, and it's either number one or number two, and I think it's number one, is that people have a fear of speaking in public. And I said that to somebody the other day, and I came the other week now, and they said to me, said, yes, Ian, there's most people would rather be in the box than deliver the epitaph for the person in the box, you know, at a funeral. So, which I thought was sort of made me chuckle, but it really focuses the mind when you think about people's level of fear. And so, yes, the motivation theory says that it's, if you're, the question it asks, which I think is fantastic, is, are you moving, trying to be more confident, or are you moving away from fear? And if you're moving away from fear, then that's where you're focused on. And likewise, let's give the example of relationships that I mentioned earlier. Do you want to be in a loving relationship, or do you not want to be single? And it's the way I understand it is that if the positive one, the moving towards a solution as opposed to away from a problem, is more easily sustainable. Because if you move away from the fear, as soon as you feel like you've done that, the chances are the fear can come back again. And maybe that's more understandable about relationships. If you talk about not being want to be single, all your effort is in not wanting to be single. And once you're in a relationship, the effort disappears. Whereas if you want to be in a loving relationship, you hopefully are constantly trying to maintain the loving relationship. And you can apply that to many, well, probably almost any subject. And to come back to the sort of the other part of your question around why is it important? Well, I just have a view. Maybe it's even in values there somewhere. I'm not sure. If somebody wants to do something and it's with positive intention, that they should be able to do it. And that would be as simple as I would word it. And whether that's, you know, again, be in a relationship, decide to get fit and do a 10K run for the first time. It's just, I find human behavior fascinating. I mean, genuinely, you know, I like when I do one-to-one coaching, I tend to absolutely love it. I find it very interesting to be opposite another person and give my effort to try to help them be the version of themselves that they want to be. And so if I can help somebody do that, and I do other elements that we haven't really spoken about, but if I look at my life, I can see that there's a bit of a theme about trying to lift people up. I don't know how that sounds. It's only meant to sound sincere. It didn't sound it once I said it, but
I feel your energy is fine. Go for it.
I have a really simple definition of coaching, which is the coach facilitates the coachee to be a better version of themselves. And it's the coachee that totally defines what better is. And that could be public speaker, that could be in leadership, that could be a different partner in a loving relationship, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
So I have a couple of follow-up questions. So the follow-up question number one is, I really loved what you said about this idea of how the effort disappears, because, you know, I was having a conversation with my partner the other day, and we were talking about the bridge between that which is and that which you want it to be. Yep. So absolutely. I know how to be a confident speaker. I know it. I mean, this is what I do for a living. I know the techniques. I know how to go in and look at what my unconscious is saying about it. But when I'm in a space of the slump, the down, what do we call it? Like the valley of lack of confidence, I can see the confidence. I can see the effort, but there's something that's stopping me from moving over the bridge.
Yeah. Interesting. A lovely. I haven't heard that phrase before, but I like it.
I just made it up.
Well, amazing.
I channeled that inspired by the conversation that my partner and I had. But like, how do we walk over that bridge from moving away from the fear, so I can see the fear behind me, but I've turned around and I'm walking on the bridge, I'm taking those steps, I'm doing the effort that is required. I don't know if that's correct English, but I'm doing what is required to be confident. But sometimes I just want to chill on the bridge. I'm done. I don't want to make any more steps. How do we move over the bridge?
Well, see, Connie Lee, this is your expertise, as in not the bridge part, although I'm sure that is as well. But you're not going to like this answer, but I would suggest that sometimes that's okay. You know, if in your world, and this is you, probably none of the other listeners are going to have your level of expertise, including me, when it comes to, you know, my day-to-day is not about public speaking. It's the confidence side of things and behavior change that may touch on behavior speaking that I'm happy to talk about. So if someone like you wants to rest on the bridge, I would say fair enough, maybe listen to that. And as you're an intuitive person, I would be, you know, looking at where are the feelings coming from? What am I saying to myself right now? And do I need to listen to that? And that's a different type of answer. That's almost about self-care and, you know, self-awareness and just saying, do you know what? I do this day in, day out, every week. Something's telling me right now, I need a bit of a break. But if that was a regular thing, and for some of your listeners, that might be why they're listening, then I would say, and this may be not a quick answer, but then, you know, it's a question of what we're looking for is the pattern interrupt idea of, okay, what is the internal dialogue going on? Why is it that when you get to the bridge, you're not crossing it? How are you feeling? What are you seeing? Are there internal feelings? Is there the internal dialogue? And then that's a longer conversation and a bit more of a coaching effort, although people can do this themselves, it's just not easy, about where has that come from? And as we started to chat about before we went live, is much of that comes from many, many years ago. And funnily enough, there's a really simple example that I always give, and it is about, on any kind of fear, I normally use this example just because it's so easy to explain. We were talking about the joys of young children. If you imagine, rather than the age we were talking about, which was toddlers, say 6, 7, 8 years old, and little Barnaby has to stand up for the first time in class and read out and makes a mistake. And instead of saying chef, says chief, and everybody laughs and the teacher doesn't deal with it very well. Little Barnaby knows, of course they won't use this language, but little Barnaby now has learnt deep inside his body and at the time, even intellectually, when I stand up and talk in public, it's really painful. It's embarrassing. Yeah. It's not pleasant. And 30 years later, when he's giving his brother's best man speech, he has no idea why the piece of paper is waving so much. He's fanning the people in the front row. Of course, by then, little Barney would have been used to it, avoids speaking at work, avoids X, Y, and Z, and knows he's going to be nervous, but absolutely is going to deliver for his brother because he loves him. But, you know, the fear is there and it's long since forgotten how or why it started.
Yeah. And this is, I love that image. I'm just seeing Barnaby shaking his piece of paper in front of the audience. But, you know, you make a really, really good point. And the fourth step in my healing process to speaking with clarity, confidence and charisma is acceptance.
There you go.
You know, like you said, absolutely, it is self-love and it is acceptance. And you reminded me as you were talking about this point, which we often forget, especially those of us who are maybe more in the mind, which we all are. What am I talking about? We all live in the mind. Is that we get caught up in the, you know, the perfectionism of it or trying to understand it rather than going as slow as the slowest part of us feels comfortable. And knowing that actually it's not about being on the other side of the bridge, which is the confidence. It's about what you are learning about yourself as you are walking on the bridge. And each step that you take is teaching you, you know, where do I now need to be a better version, using your words? What is this step teaching me? And in order to learn the step, you need to accept all the aspects of yourself and how you're feeling within that cycle, process, stage, wherever it is on the bridge, right?
Yep, absolutely. Do you know, there's another, if I may throw it in there, and this isn't my field of expertise, maybe it's yours by some wonderful coincidence, but are you familiar at all with three principles coaching?
Remind me.
So there's, as I say, I'm pleased I said right from the start, it's not a field of expertise, though I've read around it fair bit and had a few detailed conversations with friends that have studied it far more than me. But there's an amazing book that I always, well, always, I occasionally recommend called Somebody Should Have Told Us by Jack Pransky. And there's a beautiful part in there that talks about this idea of the infinite well of thinking. And you could apply that to all the steps on the bridge. And the idea is that, you know, as simple as it sounds, if you don't like your current thoughts, we'll change them. And that's for someone that might be going through some stuff that's really difficult. You know, you can combine it with other elements around breathing, applying different techniques that I'm sure you can talk to and I can talk to. But if you end up remembering that simple element about the infinite, there's an infinite well of thinking. I think it's remarkably powerful, and they have a beautiful little explanation of it, which is if you think about, there's a beautiful sculpture, and your sculpture is your wisdom, and the veil that is covering the sculpture, that you, so you can't currently see it, is your thinking. Or I've sort of reworded that to the overthinking. And it's nice to know that you can at any moment remove that veil and show below this beautiful sculpture that is your inner wisdom, and you remove the overthinking, and it's there waiting for you. And another analogy was, you know, a perfect flutist being drowned out by a perhaps out of tune brass band. And, you know, it's just another analogy, another metaphor, and that's one of the things I explain to clients about this notion of, listen, we're human beings, and if you're not in control of your thoughts, then who is? And that's really easy to say, and sometimes hard to digest, and you see the response on people's faces when you kind of hold up that mirror. And obviously it's, you don't do it on the first 10 minutes of coaching somebody, but it's sometimes in a process, it sort of fits in with what you're saying. You know, there's a bridge to go across, and you've developed your own process where you take each step at a time. And one of the things you can do in that process is just literally say to yourself, okay, I don't currently like these thoughts. What's next?
Yeah. Oh, and I think it's, you know, I often give the analogy of the gym, right? When you first go to the gym, it's really, really difficult. You know, I can go to the gym today and do some toning and think to myself, yeah, okay, great, I'm going to have an amazing body tomorrow. But actually, that's not how it works. And I think it's the same with, you know, with this process of becoming the best version, the best speaker. As you were talking, my mind went back to, so I've just started playing the piano.
Oh, good for you.
I haven't started. I've gone back to one of my childhood passions, which is music and singing, and those of you who know me, you're not surprised. But so I've downloaded the Simply Guitar app, and you know, I'm busy playing. But the other day I was playing at a friend's house, and my friend's partner said to me, okay, Connie, can you please stop, because it's like, listen, after 2 hours of you practicing, he's like, there's only so much clunk, 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 you can hear. I was like, okay, fine, fair enough. But my initial response was to go into the past, right? To be like, oh, okay, there you go. You know, you know, all those unconscious thoughts that came about. And then I thought to myself, okay, you know what? It doesn't matter. The only way that I'm not going to clunk, 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 clunk is to practice. So to actually sit every day and hold that space for myself to practice for 10 minutes. Now, what I can do is I can, and you, this is what you talk about, is not living in the past. I can live in that one moment of, okay, you know, I was told I sound terrible and, you know, no one's going to listen to me, or move into the, I'm going to be a beautiful player, and this is an expression of who I am. And the only way to move from that bridge, from that side of the bridge to the other, is to actually set that space every day and to practice.
Yeah. And plus, you know, in that scenario, you know, what amazing friends you have that were happy to sit there while you practice for 2 hours.
Exactly. So it's again, you take off the veil, you know, that's the veil. It's like, okay, one thought was like, oh my gosh. Another thought is, well, actually, they sat there for 2 hours and they held the space for you.
Yeah, right? I mean, you've got very nice friends, I would suggest. Because I think I would have butted in after about, well, less than 2 hours. Or certainly disappeared to make
after 10 minutes. Mary had a... Da, da, da. So many times you can listen to Happy Birthday.
It's so funny because we obviously we spoke before a little bit before and things in common. And I'm not a musician, but I love music. And I have a long story about trying to have singing lessons, and not even particularly young. I mean, not young at all, actually, but. The hilarious part is, and I'll cut a long story very short, is that, and I promise you this isn't exaggerated or dramatized for effect. In essence, at the first proper music lesson, where it was a surprise set of gifts, and so at the first, I got to meet the person and then went to a first proper lesson, and this was about singing, she asked me to leave inside 10 minutes. And I promise you that's true. She said she played a note on piano and I made the noise that was, I assume, accurate. And then she made another, pressed another note or played another note. That about sums up my knowledge. And I tried again and she went, no, you sang this note, now sing this one. And I said, actually, I can't hear the difference. She went, you're tone deaf. I can't help you. This was 10 minutes inside the first proper lesson. She said, you're tone deaf. I can't help you. I wish you the best of luck. I suggest you learn the guitar. And asked me to leave. So, you know,
okay, we're not setting up a band. We're just going to continue with the inspiring people to be the best versions of themselves.
I tell you what, when I tell other music teachers that, they actually they don't find it funny. They get quite upset and cross that it's such horrific level of teaching and looking after your students and encouragement that it's, that was actually 20 years ago now. That was 20 years ago.
We do the very best that we know with the information that we have at the time.
Hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. So.
Okay. So we've got a couple of things here. We've got that actually you are in charge of your thoughts and you can change them. And a good way to do that is not looking over your shoulder at the past, moving towards the future. And you touched on something that was really important, which was this idea of being in the present moment and connecting with your breath. Does that help us to change our thoughts?
Yes. So that's a perfect question. There's actually something called the chain of excellence from good old NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. And I find that you can combine the idea of interrupting your breath with focusing on the outcome that you want. So in a new situation, this is a bit difficult, but in a situation exactly like you asked me, that sometimes you just don't want to cross the bridge. If that's a situation that people are going through, whether it's about speaking or anything else, if you take a sharp intake of breath and allow the lungs to fill, that changes your, so you're changing your breathing, you're changing your physiology. Your physiology impacts on your state and your state impacts on your performance. So I'll say that again. You change your breathing. So I would normally tell clients, take a sharp intake of breath. That fills your lungs, which is by definition quite, you know, the shoulders go back a bit, chin goes up, and even if it doesn't do it particularly naturally, you make it do that. And just by describing that, and I know no one can see me, but it's if you can encourage people listening that it's, you fill up your lungs, open your chest, push your shoulders back a bit and lift your chin. That is a posture of confidence. And I'm just going to stick with the example of confidence, but you can apply this to any state that you want to be in. So your breathing affects your physiology, which affects your state, which affects your performance. And so in the scenario of you're getting to the, in your case where you've, you know, there's an occasional element where you don't want to cross the bridge, as I say, not ignoring the self-care, but if you've thought about that and it's not that and there's something else going on, then you pre-plan
because you know this is a regular thing that happens, and you say, okay, how do I want to respond in those moments? Is it with creativity? Is it with confidence? Is it with more self-awareness? Whatever it is, whatever attribute one would talk about, there's a process of anchoring. So you get what it feels like to have in your body the element of confidence, or any of the other elements we said, whether it's creativity, awareness, et cetera, et cetera. And you do this pattern interrupt by, okay, here's the trigger, change my breathing, which changes my physiology, which changes my state, which is going to impact on my performance. And I know that as part of this process, I'm going to focus on X, and X is increased confidence, X is crossing the bridge, X is whatever. And so you're aware of the trigger, you accept that the trigger's come, you do this pattern interrupt, and you've already pre-planned what you want to focus on instead. And that is the sort of the changing your breathing, using a trigger that you've pre-planned. We call that an anchor, and you know to take different steps that will take you across the bridge, or with practice, or with and it's just about changing behaviors. And as I said before, if there's belief stuff there going on, so you know it's deeply held, the internal stuff about, then there's probably more work to be done, be that with a coach or on your own, and just aware of where the limiting beliefs are coming from, what the internal dialogue is about, etc. But once that mirror has been held up and there's an acceptance from the person that recognize that, don't need that anymore, let's reframe it, whatever, then that technique about the breathing and setting up an anchor works really well to help change habits or get new habits so that you do cross the bridge, to use your metaphor. Did that make sense? I felt like I was wittering a bit.
It's, you know, it's so powerful what you're saying, because we get so caught up, I think, in the complexity. And I think this is such a simple technique, and I think we definitely need to collaborate on something, because so those of you listening, I don't know when you're listening, but you know, just check out Ian and I are going to be, I don't know, doing some awesome stuff. But a final thought to leave the listeners with could be something around this technique, because it is so simple, because it's, you know, it's the structured way of really reconnecting with your essence, with your truth, what is important for you, and physiological. So it's combining the head, heart, soul, body, mind. It's combining everything that you need.
Yeah.
I mean, what is one thing you could leave us with to kind of step into that space that we're wanting to be?
The one thing I'd give a quick summary of what we've chatted about, and be aware whether you're moving away from fear or towards confidence, and try to start with by saying, okay, I'm going to very consciously at this stage move towards confidence. I want to be a more confident speaker. Remember the idea that we have an infinite web of thinking, and even just, again, just consciously accept it at this stage. And remember that notion of your breathing affects your physiology affects your state, and your state affects your performance. And by changing your breathing, take a sharp intake of breath, fill up the lungs, push the shoulders back, etc., you can move towards confidence and plan to think about what that means for you by focusing on a future of more confidence for your speaking, and using some of these techniques to interrupt your current pattern of thinking, accepting the fact that, you know, if some of it is, if you've got all sorts of other, that I believe that will work over time regardless, because I think there's something called exposure. This is not my field of expertise, but there's something called exactly. And effectively in the end, you get used to it and you create a new behavior. I would always suggest, I guess, because of my training, I would say, okay, let's assess where the other beliefs are coming from and deal with that and change that previous reality for you into a more positive current reality. And then to change your habits currently, because we have, you know, habits are habits, and it's, you just, there are processes to interrupt the habits. Whereas the belief side of things might be, you know, they're a bit deeper, and that might need some additional conversations. I'm not sure that's, I hope that summary was succinct enough, or since maybe it wasn't, you could summarize my summary. And I'll nod along.
No, that was absolutely awesome. And I mean, there's just so much in this podcast. I reckon, you know, I'm definitely going to re-listen to it myself. And I think, you know, it's just accepting where you are, isn't it? With love and being okay with the journey. Thank you for joining us, Ian. You have been incredible.
Thank you very much for the invites. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Anytime. Thank you. Moving away from the problem, fear, and moving towards the solution, confidence. Hey, everybody, and welcome to yet another episode of Speak with Clarity, Confidence, and Charisma. I'm your host, Connie, and in today's recording, we're going to be speaking about how you can speak with more confidence. So make sure you grab a paper and a pen and stay tuned if you want to discover more about how you can move over the bridge from fear into a space of confidence. I will see you in a bit.